3, 2, 1, up.
And ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Jeremy, mate. Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
So, mate, the reason I ask you to come in is because you have, I would say, huge, if not phenomenal, experience in one of the most competitive marketplaces of Sydney, which is the Eastern Suburbs. And you've been around for the last 25 years, is that correct?
Correct, I have.
Wow, mate, well done, first of all. So this year you're celebrating 25 years?
Correct.
Mate, congratulations.
Thank you.
What's the plan? What are you going to do with the team?
I think we're just in the beginning stages of growing. I started, as you said, 25 years ago in leasing and property management and sales, and the last 6 years has sort of been the second part of my journey, which I opened Weeson Property, my own agency, and that's been going really, really well, and it's in the growth stages still. So, you know, the fact that I've been 25 years in real estate, it's all just experiences that I've had to get me to where I am now, and this is the real part of my journey.
Wow. Okay. Plus, you've been operating in one of the most challenging / rewarding pocket of Australia, we can say.
Sure.
Okay, so let's go back to the beginning because I'm so curious. So you're born and bred in Sydney East.
Yep.
Okay. And brothers, sisters?
You got a brother and a sister.
Are they in real estate or no? No real estate? No. Okay. What got you into real estate? How did you start?
I think originally it was, I had some family members that were in real estate. One was in valuation and one was in property development, and I always had an interest. I liked selling from an early age, didn't matter whatever it was. I always liked selling. Mm-hmm. And I was a good talker, and, I sort of had a family friend, Rodney Blackman, who used to drive the BMW convertible with the number plate negotiator. He had nice suits. He was selling all these beautiful houses in the eastern suburbs. And I used to call him from time to time and say, when I finish school, I want to become a real estate agent. And he said, yeah, no problems. And whilst I was at school, I was doing my real estate certificate as part of a sort of TAFE program inside school.
Yeah.
So I had my certificate of registration before I finished school. And when I left school, I got a job in leasing, and I always was attracted to real estate because of the suits, nice suits, flashy cars, and I guess I had the sales ability. So that's where I wanted to be.
Wow. Okay. So, and he gave you, say, hey, come and work with me?
Well, I didn't work with him straight away because when I left, I said, oh, have you got something for me? He said, no, you've got no experience. Go and get some experience somewhere.
Yeah.
So when I left school, my mum said, you've got 2 weeks, find a job or you're going back to school. So I...
sorry if I interrupt. You were like 18 at this stage?
17.
Wow. Yeah, your mum said, you got your...
Two,
wow.
2 weeks. Because I left, actually. I didn't finish my HSC. I left first term year 12.
Yeah.
It just wasn't for me. And I was told you either have to go back to school or to TAFE to finish school, or you've got to find a job. So I went out like I do, opening up doors and speaking to people, and 2 days later I had a job in leasing in Bondi.
Wow. Okay. I see a lot of real estate agents, they have a big, they start in leasing.
Mm-hmm.
Did they give you like a good foundations before you moved
into? Yeah, I think when I started, I mean, yes, there was a lot of people going straight into sales, but the older people that had been in the business for a long time used to say that you should have a grounding in property management and leasing. It'll give you an entree into the sales business. Yeah. It'll teach you, you know, the sort of art, if you like, of dealing with people at inspections and just understanding the process a little bit more. So when you do get into sales, you sort of know how to deal with tenants. You know the process of what needs to happen through, you know, between listing a property, selling a property, and all that other kind of stuff that goes with it. So it was a good thing for me. I really enjoyed it. But, you know, my end goal obviously was always to be in sales.
And after that, you were in leasing for how long?
So I started in leasing. I was doing that for a couple of years. Then I wanted to go into something a little bit more, and I rang my family friend Rodney Blackman, and he gave me a job as a as an assistant.
Yeah.
So I was working with him in sales for a while, But, you know, like all 18, 19-year-olds, they think they know everything.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, I had no idea, but I thought I could do it better than everybody else. So I pleaded with the principal at the time to let me go into sales on my own,
yeah.
Which he did. And I listed a couple of places, but I didn't do too well.
Right.
So they said, look, why don't you come back into doing new business in the property management part of the office, which was sort of like selling, and do that for a little while until you know, you're ready to go back into sales. Because back then there was a whole, you're not old enough, you know, you're still too young to be a sales agent.
Are we talking about like 20 years ago or something?
2000.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, 20
years ago. Yeah, and I, from there I decided that, okay, I'm going to try that.
Yeah.
And did that for a couple of years until I thought I knew everything again. And I teamed up with a couple of people and we started our own office.
Right.
So we started our own property management office in Double Bay.
Yeah.
It was called Estate Operations.
Uh-huh.
And I did that for a few years, and then I felt like, you know what, I really want to get into sales again. I don't want to do this property management and leasing anymore.
Yeah.
So I went to work at Ray White Double Bay.
Ah, there you go. As a sales agent.
Salesperson, yeah.
Okay. No, because like at the end of the day, the management is the core of the real estate agency business. Like, because if down the line you want to sell the business, if you don't have a decent rent roll, the rest is not really worth much.
Well, sales come and go. Your asset, so to speak, is your property management.
Yeah. Interesting. Okay. So you went to Ray White Double Bay, and how did you go after that?
That was an amazing experience.
Yeah.
I probably wasn't right at the time to be in that office, just with partying and all the other stuff that comes with, you know, growing up in real estate, you know, when you start at 17 years old.
Yeah.
So I probably wasn't right. There was amazing coaching and training and good mentors around me, and some of the best in the industry were working in the office. So I learnt a lot, skills that, you know, still today I implement and use.
Yeah.
So I've got to say that was a very, very good experience for me. And then from there I moved on. I went and worked in an agency in Bondi Beach.
Right.
And I worked there for quite some time, and that was a very, very good experience, because whatever ego, whatever nonsense that I had in my head, I dropped.
Mm.
And I just became Jeremy. And, you know, obviously growing up in the eastern suburbs, going to school in the eastern suburbs, spending all my childhood in Bondi, you know, that I sort of came alive, you know? Okay. And that's where I got to really hone in on my skills. I had really good trainers around me. I had good people. And I was just focusing on trying to be the best version of me as an agent.
Yeah.
And that was a really good time. But, you know, things change, people around you change, and environments have to change. And as you're growing, you sometimes grow out of where you are, and you've got to keep moving. And, you know, I was not married, or I didn't have any kids or a girlfriend at the time. I was just on my own, you know, trajectory of obviously trying to get ahead and succeed. Like, I wanted to get to the next stage. And I got offered a position in Bondi Junction, which I spent the next 11 years at.
There you go. Would you say that was the longest?
That was the longest stint. Yeah, because when you try and find yourself, you know, you've got people around you and you're trying to work out who you are as an agent and you're picking up little bits and pieces from people around you, but you're still trying to work out, how do I make Jeremy the best version of Jeremy, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Because at the end of the day, we're human beings. Real estate is just what we do.
Yeah.
How do we make ourselves the real version, right? And you pick up bits and pieces. You may not like some of that, or you might like some of it, and you sort of put it into your suitcase and you keep rolling.
Yeah.
And I had a really good mentor for 11 years in Bondi Junction. That was an amazing opportunity for me. I learned a lot and I grew a lot, and it helped me sort of get to, that was the track, right? Mm-hmm. That put me into where I needed to be. I learned a lot. And it wasn't just real estate. It was, you know, human being.
Personal development.
Yeah, all that kind of stuff. And I started dating my now wife at the time. And, you know, as I said, 11 years is a long time.
It is.
And we had our first child and we bought a house, and like everything started to happen. And it was just the next journey for me was I needed to have my own business.
Yeah.
I needed to step it up. I wanted to be not, I didn't care about being the boss. Now, obviously, as you own your own company, you know what it comes with that.
Yeah.
But it was just more about putting my own mark and my own stamp on what I wanted, and having a sort of full circle agency where I could offer finance, I could offer property management, I could offer sales and leasing and all those other parts that come with the business, project management and all that kind of stuff, which we which we do now, which is sort of being in an agency, you're either in the leasing and property management department or in the sales department, right? So I moved on from that agency and I started my own, and I haven't looked back. It's just been an amazing, amazing opportunity.
Yeah. How did you get... Okay, so after you spend 11 years there, so would you say that what triggered you was, I got kids, I got family, I got my house, now it's time to do my own things? That was the main...
I think that's part of it. That's definitely part of it. But as I said before, you know, you sort of grow and sometimes you can outgrow your environment and people around you. Like, you know, I think when you're growing, you sort of got to be at the same page as everybody else around you.
Yeah.
If someone's older than you and they've got more money than you and they've got more kids than you, or the kids are older or they're younger or whatever the case may be, you're not on an even playing field, right? So everyone's got different needs and wants, and and it makes the environment, if you want to call them your partners or whatever they might be, it makes the environment just, it's... You can't grow, you grow out of it. You can't grow into furthermore, you know what I mean?
So
for me, it was like I needed to either shit or get off the pot, you know what I mean? And I got off the pot and we moved on.
Nice. Okay. Yeah. And that's where you started your own business
all that time ago?
Yeah, like after you left Bondi Junction.
Yes, correct. Yeah.
Wow. And because when you start from scratch, like, I'm pretty sure it's going to take the first 2-3 years a lot of hard work. Like, you need to set it up. I'm just talking about, like, because I really appreciate people that start things from scratch.
Yeah. Well, okay. Look.
I'm sure you have your database and you're on the contact.
It's all irrelevant because, you know, at the end of the day, when you're starting a business from zero, there's a lot of moving parts.
Yeah.
There's a lot of money. There's a lot of responsibility. You know, your life expenses don't change. Your relationships don't change. Your emotional levels don't change. But the flip side is you've got this thing that you're trying to build and grow. And it doesn't, it's not just something that you can just wake up and check in and check out. It's a 24-hour, 7 days a week thing that sits on you, right?
Yeah.
And you don't want to fail. Because not for anybody else but yourself, you've set out to achieve and you're going to go for it full steam ahead, right?
Yeah.
And look, you know what? I bought a house, I had a big mortgage, I had a child, my wife wasn't working. There was a lot of other things that went into it. And, you know, here I am trying to start a business. I had sales that I was working on when I first started, which were great. You know, we had some, but, you know, you do a 3-month settlement or a 6-month settlement, there's no cash flow coming in.
Yeah.
All of a sudden you're up against the wall.
Yeah.
All the money that you've got, that you've had, you know, it's all well and good. We leave and we're going to start our own business, but you don't actually think about the costs that go into starting that, right? And you're in. And you've got to set it all up and you've got to do it all. And you're trying to keep up with all the other agencies around you so you're relevant in the marketplace, right? And you know, I was really, really in. And the most important thing about real estate is cash flow. I'm just thinking back to those times, right? I was in the office till 8-9 o'clock at night, just thinking about ways to do things. And you asked me earlier about what was my most memorable sale, and we'll get to that in a moment. But, you know, I was in the office late at night, early in the morning. I was everywhere. I was jack of all trades, you know, whatever needed to be done, I was doing it. And I sort of had my experience in property management, and I took an office in Double Bay, and I had a couple of friends of mine that were like entrepreneurs that had different businesses that were running. So one, you know, was in the food business. The other one was in online reservations. The other one was in sports and health.
Yeah.
And, you know, they kept talking about like the recurring revenue model, and they kept talking about cash flow. And I didn't have that because I was a salesperson that was making sales. And I really tried to think about how can my agency be different to all the other agencies, because everything else is a really old model, right? They've got, you know, businesses that have been around for a very long time. There's the principal at the top, there's a few people, maybe managers and whatever in between, and they've just got staff that might turn over, might not turn over.
Yeah.
So how can I be different, you know, being the principal and I'm working in the business as well?
Yeah.
How can I be different? So I thought, you know what? I'm going to go back into leasing and property management. I'm going to build this business back up and get my recurring revenue to cover my costs. The sales will come. So I was working 7 days a week, like literally early in the mornings and everything. And I did that for 2 years, trying to build the property management business
by myself, with the family,
with everything else. And it was challenging. You still got to make room for date nights and all that kind of stuff. And nothing changes. You just got to keep rolling.
I was about to ask, what did your wife say at the time?
Well, she was supporting me because she knew that, you know, there's a means to an end. Like I was always a hard worker. So it didn't matter what I was going to do.
Yeah.
I was always going to achieve something. Mm-hmm. You know, I've got high expectations of myself. Yeah. I always want nice things, you know, we want to do all the stuff that, you know, traveling and buying nice things. There's no choice. You have to keep going.
Yeah.
And I basically worked 7 days a week. I built that rent roll up to a decent amount, which would allow me to hire somebody.
And that's where.
And then I hired somebody that came in as my number two. Yeah. That basically did a dual role. So they were helping me in leasing and they were helping me in sales and they were doing admin. And we were just basically, you know, yin and yang, just going for it. That person's still with me today, but yin and yang, just going for it. You know, my wife, certificate of registration, licensed agent, also helping if I needed to with open for inspections.
Wow.
My dad had a license, also helping me if I needed.
Really?
I had everybody in the business. If we were short on stuff, if I had too much going on, we would all just pitch in. So
you told your wife you did that. You know, have a license.
No, you got it. We'll just keep doing the CPD points every year and we'll get that. You in. So I started going and then that was sort of set up and I was trying to remove myself out of the property management to get more into the sales so I could start bringing in additional cash.
Yeah.
Right. And then, you know, one deal, two deals, five deals, and then, you know, a couple of things, development sites, a few bits and pieces, and, you know, trying to do this, and that was too high. And finally I landed on something which I ended up selling for $25 million.
Uh-huh.
And that would have been the turning point in my business from me having my ass hanging out, right? And having all my money in the tank to living as it was coming in to turning around. Nice. And, you know, I sold that development site. Subsequently, you know, relationships started to open with different people. When I started the business, I didn't really go out to my existing database. I just sort of was looking for new clientele. And I thought, once I have a story to tell and I've got runs on the board and I've got sales and all that kind of stuff, my existing clients that I had before will come back in. And I've got something to tell them, because when you start your business from scratch, they're like, well, he doesn't really have any runs on the board. Why will I go with him? They forget that you were in the business for 20 odd years. That, you know what I mean? So they start to think, well, maybe we'll go elsewhere. So I had a story to tell after that. And then the floodgates opened and my business just completely changed. And then I sold that development site out. Did project sales and I sold all those apartments out, and then I picked up another development site, and recently, as we spoke about before, I sold another development. So I've been, you know, across a lot of interesting things which I would not have done before, working just as a residential sales agent. So it's given me the ability to be able to sell commercial properties. I've sold multiple, you know, different avenues, which has been really amazing.
Yeah,
and that's sort of got me to where I am right now.
Development site, so it was a $25 million block?
It was two blocks side by side.
Okay.
Yeah.
And how's that work? Sometimes developers approach you to say, hey, I've got this block, can you sell the units for me?
I had the listing, which I sold, and then once I sold it, the developers gave us back the apartments to sell off the plan.
Nice.
Yeah.
And from there, You got more contacts and more people.
Well, I had the contacts from before.
Right.
But it just gave them more confidence in the market as to that I can do that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Nice. Okay. So I got a few notes here. And you've mentioned people come back.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because when you operate in a specific pocket, start to get small, especially after 25 years. Sure. So. Because I often see people or real estate agents, they think in more short term, oh, I want to get the money, get out, thank you very much.
This is a long game.
Yeah, instead of actually like, all right, make sure you do a good job with someone, make sure they're happy, because they will talk.
Look, there's faster agents than me, sharper agents than me, tighter suit agents than me, but at the end of the day, I'm just here, you know, love it or hate it, really. You know, I only want to work with people that want to work with me. Yeah. I'm not for everybody. Yeah. Right, there's loads of agents out there that I'm sure may or may not do a better job for you. Yeah. I know what I can offer, and I stick to what I can do. And you know, the clients that work with me, stay with me because they realize that's what it is.
Yeah.
And the ones that want to go elsewhere, they might have a great experience, they might not, and they end up coming back. So you just, look, you just got to keep the door open at all times and just keep being you. Authentic, just keep being you. And, you know, it'll all just sort of swing around about, right? Yeah.
Nice. And now going back when you started your own business and you hired the first person, was in your head like, oh, shoot, I need to pay now 80 grand a year to someone and...
Yeah, I mean, look, it just comes with the territory, right? You can't do everything. Yeah. And if you want to scale the business, you've got to invest. So I had additional income.
Yeah.
Also, what I, obviously the cash that I had. So you sort of, you know, piece it all together and you just got to go with it. You know, there's no exact science. There's no perfect time to do it. You've just got to roll with it.
Yeah.
You know, anyone that's grown a business will tell you the same thing. And, you know, you try to model it off other people, but you just got to stay in your lane, focus on what you're doing, just go at your speed and just keep rolling. And it'll work itself out. I'm a big believer of that. You just got to keep doing the same thing over and over again. It'll just work itself out.
Mm. And after when you start to, you know, get the business off the ground, did you go through a process of... because there is a lot of turnaround into real estate, especially into the sales side. Did you go through the same process?
In terms of staff?
Yeah.
Look, I did turn over a bit of staff because just trying to find the right fit. I mean, people today, they see what's going on Instagram and they want it all yesterday, right? Unfortunately, when I started, we had analog phones and fax machines. You know, the pace is a lot faster. Wow. It's a lot faster. Pages. Yeah. Some people even had pages, right? So it's the pace is a lot faster. Social media has obviously changed the game a lot.
Yeah.
But, you know, people don't want to work. And, you know, the hard work is where you reap the rewards. You know, you got to put in the time, you got to put in the effort. People, they see things today, but they don't know what happened behind the scenes, right?
Yeah.
So there was a lot of turnover, but it's always about just finding the right fit. You want to make sure you find the right fit.
Yeah, I agree what you're saying. And especially, you know, you mentioned hard work.
Mm.
And I've seen a lot of people, especially I believe in this industry, because you're going to put a lot of effort for a long period of time. Yeah. And often you do it for a long period of time without getting any short-term results.
Well, if I talk about Ray White and the other two agencies that I worked in, it took me from really properly starting in sales a good 10 years to build that buffer. I always used to think about a buffer. The buffer meant that you'd have, you know, 50 or 100 grand, whatever your commitments were, but you'd have that kind of money as a backing, right?
Yeah.
And at that time, you know, 17, 18, 19, whatever it was, is different till today. But if you had 50 or 100 grand in your account, that you could bankroll yourself between exchanges and settlements, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So if you didn't have that, how are you living? What, debit credit? Yeah. Like, I've been commission only since I was 18 years old. So there wasn't a debit credit.
Yeah.
Right. It was commission only, and you had to bankroll yourself. And what do you, like, do you live on credit card? How do you do that?
Wow.
So, you know, there's a lot to be said about that. You know, 10 years was really when it took me to build that buffer. And as I said to you, within that 10-year period, I was partying, I was doing drugs, I was doing all the things that, you know, as you're growing up, you're in the business and you're sort of, money's coming in, money's going out, you do a deal, you think, oh my God, I just made all this money, but you forget you got to pay half to the office, you got to pay in tax, by the time you get the check, you got nothing left, but you've spent three times as much.
Yeah.
So it's all that shit that you work out, right? And then as you work it out and you get to a point where you go, oh, okay, I get this now. I understand what it is. I don't want that life anymore. I want a different kind of life. You know what I mean? And then it works.
Evolve.
Yeah.
Yeah. Have you ever got to the point where you start to question yourself, like, what am I doing all this for?
In that 10-year period, I did. Yeah. I used to go talk to my parents all the time and tell them, you know, this is too much. I'm not making any money. All the effort that I put in, this person did this to me, that person did this to me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And you think to yourself, what am I doing it all for? Like I say to people today, like, you could go and work in retail with no headaches, don't take any work home, right? You get paid a decent amount of money and do what you want to do. But if you want a career, this is a career. So in that time, I just kept persevering and persevering. I'm not one to give up. So I just kept going and going, and I knew all the work that I'm putting in today, it's like superannuation. It'll come good later on. And it did. It came good.
Nice. What would you say when you hire someone? What is the line that you say, nah, this is not the right fit, or yes, I can develop you to be part of my team?
Look, I don't really care if they've got real estate experience or not. I think about being just a genuine person and just having a good work ethic, and it's all about where you came from. I mean, look, growing up, my parents gave us a really good life, but we weren't going overseas on holidays, we were going to Surfers Paradise. Sometimes we flew, sometimes we drove. Do you know what I mean? We had a really good, like, very family, close, lots of love and all that kind of stuff, but it wasn't like, we were never killing it, right? And I think someone that's come from a life that's been given everything and spoilt, they're not really going to want to work hard because they don't need to. Yeah. But someone that's sort of on their knees, I'll use that expression, where they really want to get ahead, they want a better life for themselves or for their family, or they've got a kid, or they've got a partner, or they're working towards having a wedding or something like, you know, whatever the case may be, everyone's got their own drivers, right? Mm. But if they really want to succeed in something, they will eat shit. Because this is an apprenticeship, right? Yeah. The salary is rubbish.
Yeah.
You've got to learn as much as you possibly can from the people around you to then be in a situation where you can fly, right? Yeah. So you just have to be prepared to do that. And the question really is, are you prepared to do that? Because if you are, fantastic. If you're not, well, then I don't think this is the right fit for you.
Yeah. Mate, love it. I so agree for that. Like, I see a lot of people, they all... What I'm seeing at the moment, and when we try to get someone on board, I see a lot of people entitled. Mm-hmm. Like they come in like, what's my salary? How much do I get?
Correct.
And it's like, in my head, I'm like, you fucking like it to come here.
I was scared to ask for anything, not even a half day. You know what I mean? They'd pretend that I didn't have a half day, you know, just work through. Oh, did you have a half day? Today it's very different. Today is very different. But listen, it's 2024.
Yeah.
Things have changed.
Yeah. Now, talking about that, what's your day-to-day schedule? Now, let's say, what was your day-to-day schedule when you were on the ball? I mean, now you are a business owner. It's kind of like you need to manage a lot of things at the moment, because when you're a business owner, I believe you got a lot of stuff. Sure. And you need to delegate.
Definitely.
You need to get good at that.
Yeah.
So what's your day-to-day schedule now, and how was your day-to-day schedule when you were solo man?
Yeah. So when I was a solo man, I had no issues. I had no responsibilities. I would be in Double Bay or Bondi Junction or Bondi, wherever I was, at 7:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
You know, I'd have my breakfast, I'd start my day, I had my call lists, I had things that I needed to do. There was nothing else that needed to happen in the day except for just chip and chase. Just follow up, bar appointments, try to get into doors. That's all it was, right?
Yeah.
Looking for opportunities.
Yeah.
Right. And, you know, run the process, have the auction and keep rolling. Just do it over and over again.
Did you have like a target so far?
Look, I probably did. I can't remember, but whatever they were back in the day, you know, we talk about 100 grand, 200 grand, 400 grand, whatever they were, right?
Yeah, yeah.
As I developed as an agent, I looked at myself, my upbringing, my business, my connections, people around me, and I thought there's got to be a better way to do this.
Yeah.
Because to prospect cold calls was not my thing.
Mm.
To door knock was not my thing. I'm very personable and I know a lot of people. So how do I utilize that to get more business or to be on the shopping list or for people to think real estate, think Jeremy? You know, all those times, all those late nights, all those calls that I was making back in the day, you know, that was all part of what I was doing. But, you know, how do you leverage off other people around you? How do you do all of those kinds of things? And as I got better and slicker in terms of the business, I utilized my network a lot better.
Yeah.
A lot more, you know, wining and dining, a lot more sending gifts, a lot more just things that would help me be top of the mind. So when people did decide to sell, you know, I've got a lot of really tight networks which refer me a hell of a lot of business on a daily basis.
Yeah.
So what I'm doing these days as opposed to what I was doing then is very different. Obviously, I'm running an office and I'm also trying to run my social calendar, which is my family, right?
Yeah.
And then I'm also trying to list and sell.
Yeah.
So you've got to prioritize, but there's no difference because it's just one, it's one big ball. And they've just got bits and pieces of it, right?
Yeah.
So for me now, my day is I wake up in the morning, take my kids to school, get into the office, and things are rolling. I'm WhatsApping, I'm emailing. Like the wheels are already in motion from the day the morning starts. The team are in, they're doing the things they need to do. We keep going. But, you know, obviously in sales, things are thrown at you all through the day.
Yeah.
So you just got to take it on and just keep rolling with what presents itself in front of you and go through it. But, you know, we do a lot of appraisals.
Yeah.
We do a lot of proposals.
Right. So, okay. And do you set up your team up in the morning, every morning? Can you say, all right,
the way that the day would finish the previous day is it sort of flows on to how it would start the next day.
Mm.
So we're very much across it. It's very, look, people talk about having weekly meetings, daily huddles, all that kind of stuff. For me, we're not a massive office, so we're always communicating with each other. We always know what's going on. Everyone sees everything. Right, we're CC'd on all the emails. We've got WhatsApp groups that we share. There's always something happening.
Yeah.
So from our perspective, we know where we are.
Yeah.
We see each other's diaries. We know where we are, and things are happening. You know, the day before, if it's evaluation or if it's a buyer appointment or if it's, you know, whatever, a listing appointment. There's always, it's in the diary. We know what we're doing and we communicate. So the day is always set up from the day before.
Nice.
Yeah.
How many people in the team would you say?
We've got 10 staff.
10 staff.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, running a business. Okay, the other things I want to ask you is, was the 25 mil one of the biggest sell you ever done?
Yeah.
Like dollar wise?
Yeah.
And after that, and you mentioned like wine and dine gift.
Yeah.
So how important is that side to keep yourself in front of?
Well, I'm not doing it to get business. It's just that that's just, they're part of my,
relation.
Of my social, it's what I do. Right. So what I'm saying to you is, like, there's a lot of different groups that I'm a part of.
Yeah.
So we're always doing lunches or we're always doing things, right, where I'm there. So you talk about people that are going to B&I meetings.
Yes.
One's an accountant, one's a lawyer, one's a thing, right?
Mm.
So our groups are all different people.
Yeah.
They're not B&Is. We don't go there and talk business. We talk rubbish, right? But we have a nice time together. But people know. If they're referring me, I'm referring them. There's always something. There's a conduit there that we're all doing business together. But it's very social.
Yeah.
It's not business. If you're looking to get something out of somebody, you're looking at it the wrong way. You have to look about, how can I add value to somebody else?
Yeah.
What skill sets do I have? What services do I have? How can I help somebody else around me?
Yeah.
Right? And it's no different to if someone says to me, oh, I need to get my car repaired. I said, oh, have you heard about this service? They actually, you just give them the claim number. Mm. They'll pick the car up, drop it off for you, give you a like-for-like car. You don't have to go to No Birds or where's the tailor or where's the shoe repairer or whatever the car. I've got all these people just that I've built relationships with over the years.
Yeah.
And it's just the same thing with me. Finance broker, building and pest inspector, whatever the case may be.
Yeah.
And these people are all potential clients.
Yeah. Nice. So you go into these groups.
Yeah, like, but they're not.
Maybe it's not networking groups. They're just social. They're just,
Yeah. I'm saying I've got a lot of different friends in a lot of different groups.
Yeah.
And those groups just happen to be places that
have a good time.
Exactly.
Nice. Yeah. Okay. And this importance that you giving, which is, you know, meeting people, social, without asking for business, did it change like 10 years ago? You didn't see that short term?
When you didn't have money to do those sorts of things, right? You didn't have the time.
Yeah.
You're just chasing your tail. So it's a very different situation.
So true.
So as you obviously progress and develop and, you know, income changes and all that kind of stuff, you've got the ability to be able to do it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I listen to a lot of podcasts. People talk about all different things that they do. But,
you
know, you just got to work out what works for you.
Yeah.
Really, there's no, the only competition is myself. Yeah. I'm not competing with anybody, so you just got to do what works for you.
Mate, love it. Okay. For someone want to get into real estate, okay, what would you say is the tip that would give after 25 years? You've seen every single angle. And
not every.
I would say the majority after 25 years, but, you know, start business. What's the tip?
Very good question, but what tip? Think about it carefully.
Yeah.
Don't get into it because you think you're going to make a lot of money straight away.
Yeah.
I think consider your options very carefully because, as I said, and I have said a couple times now, it's a long game. So you can't expect to be making money straight away. I just think you have to think about it carefully. Like, I probably wouldn't do anything else. I'm very happy with my choice of career.
Yeah.
But at the same time, this is not for everybody.
Yeah.
So if you think that you're a good salesperson and it works for you, just got to align yourself in a good business.
Yeah.
Get the right sort of training and mentoring around you, and you'll evolve either in that business or you'll move around a few times until you find your feet.
Yeah. Nice. Because now you make me reflect on the long term. And when you spend so many hours and time and you were hustling and you were not getting any money short term, there must be a component of you like it. You're fulfilled based on what you do. Because I believe I believe if you, you know, if you don't like it, when you go through challenging time, that's where you really ask to question yourself and you feel like, do I really want to do this?
Mm.
So have you gone through that stage, and I believe you still enjoy what you do?
Look, I think there's elements of it that you don't like doing. But yeah. there's obviously more that you like that you don't like, right? Mm. So everything's hard. Any business is hard, yeah. right? You're going to have ups and downs. You're going to have challenging times. You're going to have to think carefully about, did I choose the right career or not? But really, if you make it part of your world
yeah.
and not a job, then it doesn't feel like you're going to work.
Yeah.
Right. And you get to enjoy every day. So there's a saying: if you love what you do, you'll never work a day in your life.
That's it.
You know.
That's it. Okay. So enjoy the process.
Sure.
Nice. Okay. Last couple of questions is working with buyer's agents.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You worked with me. Yep. How do you find it? What are you thinking about the buyer's agents popping up? What's
I think there's a lot of buyer's agents.
I know.
Think there's a lot of buyer's agents that have got no idea what they're talking about.
yeah.
I think there's some really good ones.
Yeah.
I think it's a pleasure to deal with a buyer's agent because yeah. they are commercial and yeah. they understand the process. And, you know, they can, if they've got their clients under control and they've delivered the right message to their clients along the way, we're going to give them the right information, and commercially you can put a deal together very seamlessly, right? But if you've got someone that hasn't communicated properly and they've got no idea, you know, or communicated to their clients properly what the circumstances are, everything gets lost in translation, and, you know, they're sort of throwing offers around that aren't real offers, and it just gets a little bit muddy. So I would say buyer's agents that have got experience and they're good communicators and they know what they're doing, it's a pleasure to deal with. Ones that have got no idea, it's a waste of my time.
You know what? You're right what you're saying, because it's so important, it is based on experience, to actually set the clients up correctly. And you mentioned communication, deliver the message correctly.
Yeah.
And I've seen a lot of buyer's agent, they start their own things, which is great, but without having a bit of a mentor to actually do the legwork.
Totally.
And this pop up.
Yeah.
And can cost you a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
And this is, now, like I've been with Jack for a few years now, and especially what I've learned is, I would say, based on my experience, is leverage someone else's experience.
Totally.
Has been very important.
Yeah.
Can actually speed up the process.
Yeah.
Would you?
Well, I said leveraging before, and yeah. that's the key. You know, back when I was working in Ray White and some other agencies, didn't really take advantage of that.
Mm.
But if you look at some of the younger agents that have really taken off, they've utilized some of the principals and some of the other agents in the office to really leverage their success. And that's what's, you know, and you listen to a lot of different podcasts and they say, come in, associate yourself with an agent that's doing well, leverage off their success and keep going.
Yeah.
I think it's a massive plus, because you can fast track a lot of that time.
Yeah. Okay. Mate, thank you. Last couple of questions.
Yes.
Okay. If not, yeah. I'll keep asking you questions.
That's all right. So go for it.
This is more a tip for buyers.
Yes.
All right. Someone, let's say, first on buyer, they got $2.5 million. They want to buy an apartment, but they don't know the process.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So what's the tip would you give them when I say, because a lot of buyers, I get people that say, there are certain real estate agents that they don't explain me things properly. There are certain real estate agents, they're very nice. And I agree with them.
Yeah.
There are, I believe the when there are people they hate real estate agents, it's because it's the agent.
Mm.
It's not the industry.
Yeah.
And I agree with them. So what's the tip that you would give to a first home buyer when they go to a property and they like it, they try to buy, so to understand regards price and contract and how to get a transaction going on?
This is my philosophy.
Yeah.
It takes two to tango. Okay?
Yeah.
Without a vendor and without a buyer, there is no deal.
Yeah.
Okay? We are the facilitator as an agent.
Yeah.
So if we're selling something, obviously we're there to get the best, highest price of the vendor, but at the same time, without buyers, we don't do deals, okay? So if you've got interest in a property, just express the interest to the agent and say, hey, You know, we're keen. What do we need to do to buy it? There's an opportunity that you can buy it before. Have the conversation. If there's not, just stay with me. Let's along the process. I'll keep you updated, and let's work towards, you know, putting you in the best possible situation where you can buy it at auction, right? So that's the best way to do it. Like, if you think you're going to buy a cheap property from an agent, very, very hard, because I don't know any. I don't, but I don't know agents that are there doing deals for buyers. They're doing deals for vendors, right?
Yeah.
So at the end of the day, you want to make sure that you just listen to the process. The process, if the agent, listen, if it's a junior and they've got no experience, well, then you're not taking advice from them, right?
Yeah.
But if it's someone that understands the process and knows what's going on, listen to what they have to say.
Yeah.
You know?
I agree. And what's your tip that would give to, I would say, young real estate agents that want to develop and want to build a good reputation yeah. in this industry, what I believe is very important.
Yeah.
So from the start,
don't be a wanker. Stay humble,
right? Love that.
And find a really good office, either a small office where you've got really good attention from the principal, or a senior salesperson in the office that can actually guide you and help you grow. Or somebody that is a larger agency, where there's multiple agents where you can leverage. But you want to get experience. You want to be working tight against somebody for a couple of years first. Just, as I said before, eat shit, be there. It's apprenticeship. Learn. Don't worry about the suits. Don't worry about it. Just go. Be a simple person. Absorb as much as you possibly can. So then when you're out of the gates, you just keep running.
Nice. Love that. Don't be a wanker. Okay. And the last question is, what's your plan for the next 5-10 years, your business? Well, what are you focusing on something specific, or do you have a goal for the next 5-10 years?
I definitely would like to grow the sales business.
Yeah.
At the moment, I'm the only salesperson working with a team.
Yeah.
So I'd like to actually have a couple of other sales agents working in the business. The property management business is really good. It's growing. We bought a couple of businesses last year, so that business has grown as well. But the sales business is where I'd like to put some focus in and just get that. I mean, we do great numbers as it is, just with me as an agent. But, you know, you want to be able to grow that business.
You have a pretty big rent roll at the moment, yeah?
Yeah.
Can you say the number or no? Yeah.
I prefer not to.
Okay.
Yeah.
I know he's big. When you went through the stages of, you know, being a single man and hustling 24 hours a day to, you have a family of 3 kids now, is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. How old are they?
My oldest is 6, middle one is 3, and my son will be 1 next week.
Next week.
Yeah.
There you go. Okay. Let's see if we got some gift here at the office. Okay. because we were doing some Easter things in the morning for kids around the schools here. I'm just thinking, so you wake up, you go to church every morning?
Every single day. 6:30 in the morning.
How long?
Half an hour, 45 minutes.
And after you pick up the kids?
Then I wake up, clean my teeth, put on shorts and a t-shirt, go straight there, get in, always late. I'm always late every day. Get in, do that. Get out, go straight home, pick up the kids, drop the kids to school, come back, have a shower, put the air conditioning on, do all my emails, and then I start my day. So typically I'll start my day by 8:30. By 9 o'clock I'm out, and I'll start all my meetings on the road. So I won't go into the office straight away.
Yeah.
So I've basically, my computer at home is the mirror image of my computer in the office. So what I see is what, you know, and I can just work from anywhere.
Yeah. That's just for my personal... after you finish the church, you feel like more like from that, because it's spiritual at the end of the day.
Look.
Or sometimes you just...
I'm never tired. The energy that I have is raw. Like I just was in Bali. I was in Bali last week for 24 hours. Wait. I went for a wedding for one day.
flew in, flew out.
That's how I roll. I'm everywhere.
What do you do? Fitness? Coffee?
Don't drink coffee anymore. Haven't drank coffee for 4 years.
Really?
Nothing. Since my son was born, I didn't do any exercise because I used to do Bondo de Bronte every morning with a friend of mine. We do Bondo de Bronte, we have an acai bowl, or we have some breakfast, and I go home, and I'm home by 7. So I'd leave really early. So home by 7, drop the kids, come back, and start my day. The same thing. And then my son was born, and my wife said, look, I've got my son in the morning. You got to deal with the older two.
Yeah.
So my whole morning schedule got squashed. Then my dad passed away because my son's now going to be a year old. So it was easier for her in the morning. Now my dad passed away, and now that's taken over that morning schedule. So for 11 months, you got to go to the synagogue every day.
Monday to Friday.
every day.
Every
My open start on Saturday Monday at 10 o'clock. I go from 7:30 to 9:30 on Saturday morning. I'm rushing out of there to get to my first open.
That's amazing, eh?
Sunday, 8 o'clock.
I thought I was a workaholic by you, mate.
Okay. Oh, no. No one beats me.
Mate, well done.
This morning, I'll give you an example. We've got a property that we're renting at the moment, and the tenant broke the glass, and we're waiting for the glass to be... a new glass to be put in, but we rented it already to somebody else. And the new tenants are moving in this afternoon.
Yeah.
So I had to go there and put...
Can you catch his...
I had to go there and put plastic over the glass so it's safe, right?
You did your...
Yeah, I was there. I was there. I went to Bunnings, bought all the stuff, did it, like, no problems. But that's the business owner. I put bins out, take bins in. That's what it is. I'm not too good. My wife and I work on calendar invitations. So everything is in the diary. But it's a busy day. Certainly not enough hours in the day.
Yeah.
And you know, you obviously want to still give as much time as you can and be as present as possible with the kids.
Yeah.
As well as making sure that your clients are serviced.
Wow.
So it's a lot of work, and that's why you have to have people around you, good people around you, to help you manage all of that.
Yeah. Did you change? So having the kids, I believe, changes you.
Definitely.
You know, like make you, I believe, a better man.
Well, your priorities change. Your direction of what's important changes, you know. And as I said, you know, you want to be present. You want to be a good parent. So, you know, there's a lot of responsibility and time has to be allocated, whereas you would have had time to do other things before. You could go out with your mates 3 or 4 nights a week, you know, for dinner or play a sport.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? A lot of that stuff changes. You got to find time for the gym or for a walk because there's other things that are thrown in the mix.
Would you... jump into the decision of your kids if they want to get into real estate? Like, would you influence them or you let them?
Look, I hope that the private school fees that I'm paying give them more skill set and make them a lot smarter than me to do something else. But if they choose to come into real estate, well, then no problems.
Right.
I think they're all born negotiators.
Right. That's it.
So, yeah.
Nice, that's cute. Yeah. Okay. What would you say the most challenging or difficult times on your life? Like this can be personal or business or whatever happened to you, if you're happy to talk about.
Sure. I can take it back to year 3 at school where I went to a school which was probably not the best academic school up until year 2. And my parents took me out of that school. As the group of boys that I was at the school with, they were all quite wild and naughty. And my parents thought I needed a change. And they put me in a school which was a very cliquey school. And the kids were there from kindergarten, so they'd all grown up together. And here I was, a guy, you know, from a different school coming in to sort of try and infiltrate their little network that they had, right?
Yeah.
And they were very rude and didn't make me feel good.
Yeah.
And I didn't enjoy that. And I very quickly became quite resilient and sort of dusted it off and didn't really give a fuck, right? And just worked out that this is going to come and go. Like my mum used to say to me, there's going to be someone like that in every classroom. Maybe with a different name, could be a boy, could be a girl, but there's always going to be someone like that. So you've got to just keep moving forward. You know what I mean? Put the blinkers on and keep rolling. And I learned that nothing can derail me in life at all. Doesn't matter how big. There's always a way to solve it. There's always a problem. It's, if it's money or whatever, the only thing you can't change is health.
Yeah.
Right? And didn't matter what presented itself in front of me, I would work it. And I would just deal with it and I'd just roll it through. And, you know, as I said, back in the day, you spend more than what you have. So I got myself into trouble a couple of times. So you find yourself trying to work out of holes all the time, right? And then after, you know, getting to a point where I was free and I was making money and all that kind of stuff, everything changes, your perspective on everything changes. But that would probably be in business. I don't think anything's really been a massive challenge for me because they've all just been learning experiences and they've all got me to the place that I am today.
Yeah.
And just take it in my backpack and unload it where I need to and just keep rolling forwards. There's no time to stop. You just got to keep going forwards. And personally, probably the biggest thing, the hardest thing to deal with is my dad, my best friend, passed away last year. And just dealing with that, taking that with you into your daily activities when you can't pick up the phone and call them, tell them about your successes, you have the auction, what I sold it for, I'm just driving here, have a conversation in the car. There's all of those sorts of things which they get taken away. So you really start to put everything into perspective. You start to look a bit, you know, do I spend more time with my kids? Do I, you know, family stuff as well as friends? What's important? What's really, you know, what I need? Do I need to do that right now?
Yeah.
There's all those things that you look at. So, you know, for me, I'm never going to stop doing what I'm doing.
Yeah.
All of this stuff around me, you know, just it is what it is. You just got to keep, as I said, I just, the only thing that I can say to you, I'm always positive, always happy. You just got to keep moving forward. There's no other way about it.
This is like in my head, you know, attitude determines your altitude. And, you know, this is, what did you get this from? Like, did you develop it or this came from your parents?
I built it. I built it inside me because, you know, I can say, hand on heart, I didn't talk about this, but when I was 15 years old in school holidays, I was going to do property management because I always wanted to be in real estate. And I went to this agency that I first started at, Century 29 in Bondi Beach. And I used to work there on a Saturday to see that when I finished school, is this what I wanted to do, right? And I can say that I grew up in real estate. Like, I didn't go and have a gap year. I didn't work at different jobs. I've grown up in real estate. Okay, I did a paperboy run or I worked at Strathfield Car Radio selling mobile phones or, you know what I mean? But I never really had any other jobs except for real estate.
Wow.
So I grew up in real estate. So, you know, you have a lot of knocks, you know, you get screwed on deals. There's people, you know what I mean? So you just got to not give a fuck.
Yeah.
And just keep going because they're not going to put food on my plate.
Yeah.
All those issues are not going to help me get to where I want to be. You know what I mean? You want to have nice things. You want to do all those other things that, you know, that make you happy. This is what you got to do.
Yeah.
So, you know.
I love the simplicity. Yeah. And it's just, it's funny because it's so simple. It's so, you know, proven. And a lot of people try to things hack and, you know, the different ways. And
there's no quick way to make money.
Yeah.
Because if it is, everyone will be doing it.
I know. That's exactly right. No, I love it. Mate, thank you for sharing that.
Thank you.
That's the last question, I promise, all right?
Yeah.
You've seen a lot of offices.
Yes.
Okay, can you go through the list, if you don't mind me? You've seen them all.
So I started in an office in Bondi Beach called Century 21.
Yeah.
Colin Everett. That was an amazing office. Still very close friends with the guys from there.
Yeah.
Then I moved on from there to what was Nationwide Double Bay, which then turned into PRD Nationwide, Double Bay. And then I left there and I started my own business, which was called Estate Operations. And then I left there and went to Ray White. And then from Ray White, I moved to the Lang & Simmons Network. And then from the Lang & Simmons Network, I moved to the Richardson & Wrench Network. And I was at Richardson & Wrench for 11 years.
Wow. In Double Bay?
Yeah. No, Bondi Junction.
Bondi Junction.
Yeah. And then Wiesner Property was born.
Wow. Okay, so you've seen a few.
Yeah.
Wow, well done. Yeah. All right, mate, thank you so much for coming. I appreciate it. So much value there, so much use. Thank you so much.
Pleasure.
Congratulations, your 25 years in business in the eastern suburbs, ladies and gentlemen. Mate, congratulations and thank you for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
This is general advice and does not take into consideration your objectives, situation, or needs. You should consider if this advice is suitable to you or your circumstances, and please read any applicable PDS beforehand. This is a Henderson podcast production.